Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Mem Tes. We're on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We discussed the case of Shalish Chatzeres, three courtyards lined up side by side. We have the two outer ones, Shnayim Hachitzoynos. We have the middle one, the Imtzois. And what occurred was that the outer ones, the Chitzoynos, made an Erev with the Imtzois. Rav Shimon tells us, this allows them to transfer their Kalim into the Emtzois, and the Emtzois, it would appear he can transfer to the outer ones as well. So they can use and transfer from one to the other. However, the two outer ones, the Chitzoynos, are Asurim, Zum Zu. They can't transfer one to the other. So if you have a Kli, which spent its Ben HaShmashis in one of the outer courtyards, that Kli cannot be transferred over to the courtyard on the other extreme, the other Chitzoynah, because these two don't really connect. They didn't establish an Erev amongst themselves. So the only thing they can do is transfer to the middle one, and the middle one to the outer ones. Now, this is the Shittas Rav Shimon. Chachamim disagree. Now, what exactly is the Machlokes? The Gemara will explain for us. Five lines from the bottom. Amar Vida Marav. Zu Divrei Rav Shimon. This is Rav Shimon's opinion that the Chitzoynos with the Emtzois can transfer back and forth, two-way access. Ava Chachamim Imrim. They say no. Rishus Achas, the middle one, the Emtzois, that can service. It can be accessed by the two outer ones. They can use that middle one. Rishus Achas Mishameshes L'shtei Rishuyos. The middle Rishus, the middle Chatzar, can serve the two outer ones. There's no problem with that. Aval. But the two outer ones, they can't go ahead and serve the middle one. They can't be mishamish. The middle rishus, meaning he can't go ahead and have access to both outer ones. He can't transfer his kli to the outer chatzeris. Why is that? Because he's in the middle. He has double allegiance. He has already connected to the other chatzer. He made an erev with both chatzeris on either side. So he has to decide which one. He has identity crisis. He can't go connected to two chatzeris. On the one hand, he's connected to this one, and he's transferring to this one. On the other hand, he's going to transfer to the one on the other side. He can't do that. A person can only relate to one area. He can only belong. He can only reside in one area. He can't go ahead and on the one hand reside with this chatzer, and on the other hand connect himself to the other chatzer. It's a contradiction in terms. So therefore, the middle, the chatzer emtzois, he cannot go ahead and utilize his erev with the two outer ones to transfer to them. They can use him, but he cannot use them. So according to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav Shimon will hold the chitzoynos and emtzois can access two ways, back and forth. Whereas the Chacham hold, it's only one-way access. Only the outer ones can access the middle one. But the middle one cannot access the outer ones. Continues the Gemara. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel. So this is Rav Yehuda speaking. He was a Talmud of Rav, a Talmud of Shmuel. When I related this opinion of Rav, the way Rav presented the Machlekes, I related it in front of Shmuel, Amar li, he responded, he was more macher. He said, Avzu divrei Rav Shimon. This too, meaning this view of the Chachamim, the way you just presented the Chachamim Shita, that only the Chitzoynos can utilize the Emtzois, but not in reverse, that exactly is Rav Shimon's Shita. He only allowed one-way access due to that very reason, because the middle one can pledge double allegiance. He can't belong to two Chatzeres at once. So certainly he cannot go ahead and transfer to both Chatzeres, but they can use him. That is Shita's Rav Shimon. Chachamim are even more machmir. They say all three courtyards cannot access each other. The Gemara explained that from Chesam and Aleph is a concern. Perhaps it's going to cause confusion, and eventually, inadvertently, they might actually transfer the kalim from one chitzayin all the way to the other chitzayin. The Chachamim say, blanket iser, all the three courtyards should not be transferring to each other. So in conclusion, we have Rav's approach, who says that according to Rav Shimon, there can be two-way access to the middle one, whereas the Chachamim hold that there's only one way access, only the outer ones to the inner one. So Rav Shimon says two ways, Chacham say one way. Whereas Shmuel says even Rav Shimon only holds of a one way access, only the outer ones to the middle one, but not in the reverse. Whereas Chacham say no access whatsoever amongst all these three chatzeres. Says the Mor Tanikav said Rav Yehuda Abliba de Shmuel. We have a brice which supports Rav Yehuda's version according to Shmuel, which says that even according to Rabbi Shimon, only one way access is permitted. Oh, Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon here is referring to the case where you have several fellows out in the field and they all get four amis. So we have three people lined up, two people on the outside, one smack in the middle, and he's sharing some territory with a person on either side. And the Mishnah says the people on the outer perimeter of this arrangement can go ahead and share space with him and transfer kelim. And Rav Shimon says this is similar to the case of the three chatzeres. What is it similar to? The shalish chatzeres, apsuchos lezu. We have three courtyards lined up next to each other with access to each other. Each one has access to shusurabin. If the two outer ones made an eruv with the middle one, so they have access to the emtzois. So the members of the outer chatzer on one side, on the right side, they can bring their food from, can bring it from his house into the middle chatzer and eat there. Likewise, the people on the other side can do the same, bring their stuff into the middle chatzer and eat it there. After they finish their meal, the members of this chatzer can take their leftovers and bring it back home. We're not concerned, perhaps, that they're going to actually bring over some kalim that originated in the chatzar on the other side. So concerned, they can bring their leftovers back home. V'zu machazeres meisor zech beisa. Likewise, the other chatzar can do the same. So it's very clear that according to Rav Shimon, when we have this type of arrangement, who has access to what? It's only the outer courtyard that can access the middle courtyard. But it's very clear that the middle courtyard cannot access the outer courtyard. That's the Rav Shimon. And this is compatible with Shmuel's approach, that even Rav Shimon only allowed one-way access. He didn't allow the Amtzayis to access the side chatziris, due to the reason we mentioned earlier, because he can't go ahead and reside in two places at once. So that's the Rav Shimon. One-way access is allowed. All three chatziris cannot transfer one to the other. We're concerned about confusion. Continues the Gemara, v'azda Shmuel tamei. And Shmuel is actually very consistent with his own opinion stated elsewhere, that when you pledge double allegiance, it doesn't work. D'amar Shmuel, chatzer shebein shnei mevois. Let's say we have a chatzer in the middle, and on the right side we have a mevoi, an alleyway, which has its own collection of courtyards which access that mevoi. And on the left side of this chatzer, we have another mavoi, another alleyway with several other chatzeres there. Mavoi shebein shnei chatzeres. Chatzer, sorry, shebein shnei mavois. I have a chatzer between two alleyways. So what is the halacha here? And Rashi points out, the fellows of the chatzer will actually access. They're accustomed to using both alleyways to access the shusurabim. So this theoretically should require them to be included in the Erev. It's actually not Erev, it's a Shita Mavois that is going to be established in those respective alleyways. Because he has usage rights, he uses it, so he needs to be included. When the Mavi will make a Shita amongst all its Chatzeris, to merge them into one usage area and allow access, carrying from the Chatzer to the Mavi, then they have to include the members of this Chatzer as well, because they're accustomed to using their alleyway. So we're speaking about the chatzer that's in between two mavois, who uses both of them. So we're going to have five halachas. Erev im shneim, this chatzer chose to participate in both erevs, with both alleyways. Asur im shneim. In this case, he made it worse for himself. He cannot access either one, based on the reason mentioned earlier, because one person cannot reside in two places at once. This chatzer can be connected to two separate mavois. So this is compatible, consistent with Shmuel's approach. The next scenario is, lo irev im shneim. What if he neglected to make an erev with anyone, with either of these mavois? That also is a problem. Oiseres al shneim. he goes ahead and he makes it asr. On both of those mavois, they can't carry because they didn't include this chatzar, who accesses their mavoi, in their sheet of mavois. The third case is, hoysa ba'achad regila, or ba'achad ena regila. Let's say this chatzar would regularly use one of the mavois. He was a commoner there, but on the other side, or ba'achad ena regila, on the other side, he's not accustomed to accessing it. So in this case, we say, well, he really belongs to this mavi, the mavi which he regularly uses. Therefore, we say, zeh sheregila ba'asr, the mavi in which he's a commoner, that mavi is asr, because, unless they included him in the Erev. But otherwise, they're asr, because he's meant to be part of the arrangement. Zeh she'ini regila ba'mutr. But the other mavi, where he's not accustomed to walking there, that's okay, it's mutter without including him in the Erev. Amar Rabba Rav Huna, and some add the word Amar Shmo, there's also a halacha named Shmo. What happens if he makes an Erev with one of these mavois? Erva im she'ena regila boy. Let's say he makes an Erev with one of them, but he happened to choose the mavoi where he's not accustomed to walking. That's okay. Huta regila atzmai. The other mavoi, which is actually the place where he regularly walks and uses, that's mutter on its own, meaning they don't need him to participate in the Erev. Why? Because once he has connected himself to one of the mavois, he made an Erev with them, that indicates that he's detaching himself, at least for the time being, for Shabbos, from the other mavi, on the other side. So this allows them to carry without including him in their Erev arrangement. He's not part of the equation. So that's the solution to our situation. We have a chatzar between two mavois. If he neglects to make Erev at all, then everything's awesome. If he makes two Erevs, it's also a problem. So what should he do? He should make Erev with one. And the chiddush here is, even if he decides to make an Erev with the mavi that he doesn't usually use, that's okay. Because he connected to them, and he detached himself, he delinked himself from the other mavi. So they don't need to be concerned about this chatzar, and they can carry on their own. So everybody's okay. Another halacha, va'amar rabba barafuna amar shmol. Let's say, im irva regila la'atzmai. So we have the two mavois on either side, and the mavoi where this chatzar commonly accesses decided to make an erev on their own without including the chatzar into their arrangement. That's one part of the equation. V'zeh she'ena regila boi lo irev. Now the mavi on the other side where he's not actually accustomed to walking, did not make an Erev in the Shabbos. So they can't even carry there. V'yatzmol Erev. And the Chatzar as well didn't make an Erev with any one of these mavois. So what happens here? Doichen oisa etzel she'ene regilaboy. So the Mavi, which really made an Erev, they established an Erev amongst themselves. They didn't include the Chatzar, but they made an Erev amongst themselves to allow carrying. They can tell the people of the Chatzar, look, what do you have to lose? Do us a favor. Just detach yourself from us. Go ahead and access the other side, at least for the Shabbos. So although generally you're accustomed to walking through our Mavi, but do us a favor. During the Shabbos, we'd like to carry. You didn't make an error with us. So perhaps detach yourself from us and connect yourself to the other Mavi for the time being. And by doing so, you're going to allow us to carry in our mavi. You don't need to be part of our Erev. So that's halacha, they can do that. Doichen oisa, they push the chatzar away, eitzel she'ena regilaboy, to the other side, to the mavi where, actually, he's not accustomed to walking and using. Ukugoyin ze, this is an example where we compel somebody to comply, to not to conduct oneself as they did in Stoim, where they were very particular with their possessions and wouldn't allow others to use it, even if it didn't involve personal expense or any harm. They were just very stingy and very, very defensive, very protective of their properties. We force somebody to comply, not to conduct themselves like the Midas Stoim. This is an example where, look, you have no loss using the other Mavi. Please, just go over there. This will allow us to freely access our Mavi and to carry with him. So in summary, We had a case of Shalish Chatzeris, with a machlekes between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. According to Rav, Reb Shimon allows two-way access. The Chitzoynes can access the Mtsoyes can transfer to the Chitzoynes. That's Reb Shimon's approach. Chachamim say, only one-way access is allowed. Only the Chitzoynes can access the Mtsoyes, but not the Mtsoyes to the Chitzoynes because it can be connected to two courtyards at once. According to Shmuel, even Reb Shimon holds of that Svara, and therefore only the Chitzoynes can access the Mtsoyes, but not in the reverse. What do the Chachamim hold? All three Chatzeres are also with each other. We proceeded with the case of a Chatzer, which was situated between two alleyways. We have five scenarios. If the Chatzer established an Eruv with both Mavois, in which case he's been connected to two sides at once, that's a problem. He cannot carry, he cannot transfer to either one of them. If he neglected to make an Eruv altogether, then he actually makes them both Aser, because we're speaking about a case where he's actually using both of them, and he's meant to be part of the Eruv arrangement. Let's say he's only Ragel Ba'achas. They only regularly use one of the Mavois. Then he's meant to be part of that arrangement. So that Mavi is Aser, if they don't include him in the Eruv. But the Mavi on the other side, where he's not a commoner, they can carry without including him in the Eruv. What if he decided to make an Eruv with one of the Mavois? Then everything's okay, because he's attached himself to one of the courtyards, one of the alleyways, and freed himself, detached himself from the other side. So therefore, they don't need to include him in their arrangement. We won't conclude with a case where, if one of the Mavois made their own independent Eruv, without including him, and the Mavi on the other side never really established an Eruv, so in any case, they can't carry there on Shabbos. So they tell the Chatzar in the middle, what's the law say? Just go and access the other Mavi, who in any case can't carry there. So the Doicha, the Chatzar to the other side, by doing so, they don't need to include him in their arrangement, and they can carry through their Mavi. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamak Pedal Eruvay. If one is particular about the food that he placed into the Eruv collection, he doesn't want anybody to access his food. So they collected food from the members of the Chatzar, and he would like that his food remains his. Nobody should eat his food. Ein Eruv Eruv, that Eruv doesn't work. Why? Mashmoy. What is it called? Eruv Shmoy. It's called Eruv. What is the definition of the word Eruv? An integration, a mixture, a merging. If you're not really merging together, you're not creating this true pleasant partnership, you're particular about your food, that you remain separate, and not be accessed by the others, then you haven't really accomplished what you meant to accomplish. Rav Chanina Amar, Eruv Eruv. Even in this case, it works. Elashanikram Anshe Vardina. They call him, you're like one of the members of Vardina, which was a location which the residents were stingy. So you're a stingy man. It's not ideal, but nevertheless, the Eruv works. Now, Teisa Rebbeinu Peretz points out that we're speaking in a case where, although he's particular, he would like, ideally, that his food shouldn't be tampered with, but nevertheless, if, let's say, the other members insist, surely he'll relent, he'll allow it. Otherwise, the Eruv really wouldn't work, according to all Shittas. The reason why Chanina says it works is because, at the end of the day, he would allow them, under pressure, he would allow them to actually access his food. Whereas Shmuel holds, since he's not happy about it, and he has the wrong mental approach to this whole thing, wrong attitude, he's not integrating mentally, it's not considered to be a proper Eruv. That's the one halach of Shmuel. If he's particular, it doesn't work. Amar Bidam Shmuel, another example, HaChodek Yitzei Ruvay. He splits the Eruv. He puts his food in a separate container. Ein Eruv, it doesn't work. Here again, you're not integrating properly. You're placing your food separate from the others. Keman Ki Beishamai? Is it halacha following Shittas Beishamai? The Sanya, Chamisha Shagova Yitzei Ruvan. Five members of the Chatzar collected their Eruv food, Unosonu B'Shnei Kelim, and they placed it, they split into two containers. It doesn't work. It needs to be in one container. It does work. So Shmuel tells us that the Eruv food needs to be contained in one container. Is he following Shittas Beishamai? That's problematic. Says more no. Afilu Tema Beisil. He can be going even according to Beisilel. Ad kan. Like Amar Beisil Hasam. It's only over there. The Beisil say it's okay. Ela de Malyun Lamana Beyater. We're speaking where they filled the container with the Eruv material, and there was a spillover. They need to get another container to put the rest. So since initially they didn't place it in two containers, that's okay. It joins together, it's considered to be one collection, one entity. That's over there. Aval Heichav, the Palge Miflug. But if initially he split the Erev into two, such as in our case of Shmuel, Loi, even Basil would agree that the Erev is not valid. Okay, so we have the first halach of Shmuel. If he has the wrong attitude, he's not mentally integrating, it doesn't work. The second halach of Shmuel, if the Erev's physical appearance, it doesn't give that impression of proper integration, the Erev is not chal. It doesn't work. V'tarti lamli. Why do we need both statements of Shmuel, which are really based on the same underlying principle, that it's not properly integrated? It says more tzrichi, both are needed. Yesh minan hasam. Had he only said the first statement, Mashem dekapit, because he's particular about it, and he's not mentally integrating. Aval hocha, but in the second case where that element is not present, he's not makvid on his food, but since they placed it into two separate kelim, it's no good. Over here, perhaps, aval hocha emalai, perhaps in this case, since it's not an attitude problem, perhaps that's okay, despite the fact that it appears separate. Therefore, Shmuel needs to tell us, even this is a problem. V'yashmin al-hacha, had he only said the second halacha, when it appears like two separate portions of the Erev, I would say, yeah, that's a problem. Mishum de palge mifluk, because he split it into two, so in its physical appearance, it doesn't appear like one and the same entity. Therefore, it's not a proper Erev, it's not a proper integration. Aval hasam. But in the first case where they placed it together, one kli, just, there's a problem with his attitude. Emaloi, perhaps, that's not so severe. It would not invalidate the Erev Tzricha, therefore Shmuel needs to teach us in both cases. Whether it's an attitude problem or a lack of integration due to the physical present appearance of the Erev. In both cases, the Erev doesn't get activated. Omalei Rab Abel Rav Yehuda. So Rabbi asked Rav Yehuda the following question. V'matzarto Rav Zakkai. And the olive press of Rav Zakkai. Now, the Gemara elsewhere, I think it's in Avodah Zarah, so the Gemara says, actually increases, the Gemara says that there's a story there where one Tana asked a question of the other Tana out in the marketplace. Why does the Mishnah need to mention, cite the location of where it took place? The Gemara says, the Mishnah's highlighting that even on the road, even when they were preoccupied, they were in the marketplace, shopping for the wedding there, what were they involved in? Words of Torah. So here as well, he asked him the question in the olive press of Beir of Zakkai. Umiyam HaShmuel HaCholik Esiruva in Erev. Is that the case that Shmuel says that if one splits the Erev into two containers, it doesn't work? V'am HaShmuel, didn't Shmuel say Bayish Shabanichem BeErev? So they would place the Erev food, they would collect the food and place it in one of the homes. Now, what's the point of the collection and the placement? So just in brief, that the Erech HaTzeres was to allow carrying because the home is a person's personal domain. The Chatzer is a shared area. So carrying from one to the other appears like he's taking from one type of Rishus to the other, which perhaps can be confused with Rishus Riyach or Rishus Rabim. Therefore, we have a Takana meant to integrate everybody into one to one residence. We collect the food, we place that food in one of the homes, thereby making that home the common residence for all the members of the Chatzar. It's as though they're living together, one happy family. There's one house here, there's one residency, and the Chatzar is merely serving that residence. So it's all just one entity, one usage area, one rishus. So Shmuel tells us that the house in which they place the Erev food, the homeowner of that home, Einoi Tzarech Liten Esapas, he himself doesn't have to contribute anything to the Erev. So more at this point figures, certainly has to contribute, but the fact that he has some bread in the other room, the kitchen, that's okay. He doesn't have to place it together with everything else. My timer, why doesn't he have to place his food here? Lav mishum da'amar. Is it not because we say, the kiva d'manach basala? Since his bread is sitting in a basket somewhere in the house, kima d'manach ha'chadami, it's as though it's sitting here together with everything else. So apparently the fact that it's in two separate locations, that's okay. Ha'chanami here as well. When this person split the Erev into two containers, kiva d'manach basala, since the food is sitting in a basket nearby, let it be considered as though it's sitting together. So we have a kasha from one Shmuel on the other Shmuel. Amar later, Rida responded, no, that's not the pshat. In the case where you place the Erev food in a person's home, he doesn't have to contribute whatsoever. There's no need for him to even add anything. Hasam afal bish ein pas. Even if there's no bread whatsoever in existence in this person's home, he doesn't have to contribute at all. Why? My time. Because what's the point of bringing the food into this house? You're taking everybody's bread and bringing it here, and it's as though they're all living here. This becomes everybody's place of residence. The homeowner is living here practically, physically. He's here. He's here already. He doesn't need to contribute anything to the Erev. So that's the pshat, that the homeowner doesn't have to contribute. But generally speaking, certainly when we collect food of the Erev, it needs to be placed in one container so that it's properly integrated and merged into one entity. Amar Shmuel, so we speak about Erev Chatzeres, what is the mechanism? How does it work? Amar Shmuel, Erev Mishim Kinyan. It works based on the concept of acquisition, which means that when they place everybody's bread in one of the houses, what happens is that the homeowner is considered as though he's granting a portion of his home, ownership of his home, usage rights to his home, to all the members of the chatzer. So it works based on the concept of kinyan. They acquire a piece of that home. And by doing so, this leads to the next step. It's as though they're living here. And once they're living together, then the entire chatzer is only being used by one resident, and this allows them to carry throughout the chatzer. So according to Shmuel, it's based on kinyan. They acquire a piece, a partial ownership of this home. So if that's the case, why don't you just use money? Why don't you use bread? Vim taima, if you'll ask. Why don't they make the kinyan using money, which seems to be better than just using bread? The answer is, because not necessarily is it found. Is money around during Erev Shabbos? Everyone spends their money on Shabbos expenses. So Chacham didn't want to speak about money. Rather, they dictated you meant to use food. Food, bread, it's very, very common, very available at that point in the week. Says the Gemara, okay. So it appears it was a convenience thing. Heichad Erev, Mi'alikni. Okay, so let's say he chooses to use money. Mi'alikni, it should work. The point is merely a convenience point. But if you have money, shouldn't that work as well? Says the Gemara, no. Gzeira Shema Yoyim Rumayik. Chacham were concerned if they allow money to be used, perhaps one will mistakenly think that money is the proper way of doing the kinyan. And what's going to happen? Perhaps will come a time that they won't find the coin. They won't even think of making erev with pas. They'll say, you have to do it with money. No money, no erev. And as a result of that, they won't make an erev. And things will get ruined, meaning there won't be an erev established. And Rashi adds that entire concept of Erev will be forgotten. So that's why Chacham insisted, don't use money. Actually use bread, which is something commonly found at that time of the week. This will ensure the proper establishment and continuity of the concept of Erev. So Shmuel holds Erev Rishim Kinyan. It works through acquisition. They acquire a part of that home. Rabba Amar Erev Mishim Dira. It's based on Dira. There's no acquisition taking place, no kinyan. Rather, the fact that they place the food in this home, it's as though they're living here, because where a person's food is, his sustenance is, that's where he is, that's where his mind and attention is focused at. So it's as though he's living there. That becomes his place of residence. So there's no need to make a kinyan. The mere fact that his food is there, is regarded as though he's living there, they're all living together in the same house, it's one united, integrated residence. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Seven lines from the bottom. It says Rashi, Erev, Shu Mitzarfen. This Erev that connects everybody, Taima Mishum Kinyan. It works based on a Kinyan concept, Shemaknu Lubalabais Rishusoi. Because the homeowner who's going to host the Erev food grants them partial ownership of his house, Vinimtsu Kulam Baum Vaize, Sheerev Munachboy. And as a result, everybody is a partial owner of this home. And the entire courtyard now is serving this home, which is everybody's home. So the chatzar is considered to be just serving the single residence, which is the only residence found in this courtyard. So if it works based on Kenyan, that leads us to the question, Umpnei ma, ein ma'arim b'mor. Why don't they make an Erev with money? Litin kol echad echad ma, each one should give this coin, and ma'esev yikin lo yishus chaveru. And by doing so, let him acquire the property, his friend's property. The answer is, because perhaps people will consider this to be the proper way, and if there's no money available, they're going to refrain from making the Erev. And eventually, the whole concept will be forgotten. L'kol kulei l'shtakeach teres Erev. So this is Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi says, Erev mishum dira, shedate shel adam al pitoy. A person's mind is focused on his bread. Where a person's source of sustenance is, that's where he is. V'hava l'kilu dayir ba'u beisa. So when they place the person's food in this home, it's as though he's living there. Ve'im v'chatz ezu al dira achas. And as a result, in this entire courtyard, there's only one residence, because all are living in this home. And if so, the entire courtyard is designated for this home, for this rishus, for this residence. So the entire courtyard only encompasses one residence, one courtyard, which is serving that residence. So you don't have many divergent residences, many different type of usage areas. The Erev combines and integrates them all together. Says the Gemara on the bottom line, might be nice. Is there any halachic difference between Shmuel, who says it works based on Kenyan concept, and Rabbi, who says that it works based on the Dira concept? Now, the Rashba points out that even according to Shmuel, the process begins with Kenyan, but ultimately it ends up with Dira, meaning the Kenyan achieves that integrated residency there. End of the day, you're living in that home. It's not just that you have ownership of that home. It's as though you're practically living there. So Shmuel also agrees that the ultimate goal here is to arrive at a common dira. But he holds it's a two-phase process. There's Kenyan, which leads to dira. Whereas Rabbi says, it's only has one element. It begins and ends with dira. There's no Kenyan required. Says, well, might be now. Is there a halachic difference here? It can be now. Yes, there is. Kli. So according to Shmuel, that it works based on Kenyan, what if you use a kli to make a Kenyan? This is going to be a Kenyan chalipin, like they do with the Rav on Erev Pesach. Mechiras Chametz, they take a handkerchief, they take it from the Rav, and then they grant him permission to sell the Chametz. So this is called Kenyan chalipin. You take a kli from somebody, and in exchange, he acquires ownership of something that you want to give him. So in this case, they can approach this homeowner, give him a kli, and in exchange, acquire partial ownership of his home. So according to Shmuel, this works, because it's a proper kinyan. According to Rabba, it doesn't work. You need to have specifically bread placed in this home, which will bring you in there, which will make you a resident of this home. That's one afkamina. Upachas mishavar pruta. What if you use food which is worth less than a pruta? So according to Shmuel, it won't work, because a shavah pruta is the smallest amount that can activate a kinyan. So since you only have less than a pruta, it won't activate the erev, because it won't accomplish kinyan. Whereas according to Rav, as long as there's food there, that's okay. You don't need kinyan. The third difference would be the katan. So Rashi learns whether a katan can go ahead and collect this food for the erev chatziris. According to Shmuel, he cannot, because he can't accomplish Kenyan. According to Rabbi, he can, because we're not trying to accomplish Kenyan. The fact that he's collecting the food, putting it in that home, automatically brings them all in here. Tosfos disagrees with this prat. It brings a raya from the Gemara and the Flamin Aleph. Rav Huna says a katan can collect the Erev. And it seems that Rav Huna is working even according to Shmuel. Therefore, Tosfos brings the Pirush of Rach, that katan means whether you can use the house of a katan. Can you place the Erev food in that home? So according to Rabbah, why not? According to Shmuel, you can't, because when you bring the food in there, the homeowner is meant to grant you a portion of his home. A katan can't be makna. He can't go ahead and grant anything to others. Therefore, according to Shmuel, it wouldn't work. Okay. Amalei Abayi l'Rabbah. I have a double kasha. Lidi doch kasha. According to your approach that Erev works in the concept of Dira, I have a difficulty. Ulu Shmuel kasha. Likewise, according to Shmuel, that it works with the Kinyan concept, I also have a kasha from the following brice. Hotanya, chamish sheshagov seiruvan, if five members of the chatzar collected their erev material, merged together, made erev chatzeris. Now, they'd like to connect themselves to their neighbors in the chatzar adjacent to them. So it seems like standard procedure was that they would take their erev material that they already collected, which is the essence of their residency. They would take that very bread and bring it over to the chatzar next door, thereby connecting with them and creating that greater erev, allowing transfer between the two chatzeris as well. Says the Brayzak Hashem Alichan Eseiruv and Makam Acher, when they bring their erev to their neighbors, not necessarily do they have to specifically bring this food. Rather, Echad Meilich LeKulan, one member of this erev, one member of this chatzar, can go ahead and take his own personal bread, bring it over to the other chatzar, and by doing so establish a connection between all the members of his chatzar with the members of the chatzar next door. And the question here is, the obvious kashi here is, whichever way erev works, whether kinyan or whether dira, who's doing the kinyan, who's doing the dira? It's himself and nobody else. He's the one that's contributing. They're not contributing to the erev. Who knew the kakani? So if there's a kinyan that's involved, he's making the kinyan. He's the sole contributor. It's his bread. Masuloy, nobody else. Who knew the kadair? Whether it's according to Rava, based on the concept of dira. So where the person's bread is, that's where he's living. He's the one living there. It's his bread. Masuloy, nobody else. So how does it work? That was Abai's kasha to Rava. Amar lei. So he responded, the teretz is simple. Loy le didi kasha, v'lo shmol kasha. This is not a kasha on me, nor on shmol. Why? Shlichus de kulukavid. This person who has already connected himself to all the other members of his chatzar, he's already integrated and created that partnership. So when he goes and connects to the other chatzar, he's not only acting on behalf of himself as an independent individual, rather he's representing his entire group. He's part of a group here. Shlichus de kulukavid. He's doing a shlichus and a service on behalf of all of them. Therefore it works. Concludes the Gemara. Back to the question of those three courtyards, those Sholish Chatziris, where Rav Shimon says the outer ones who made an Erev with the Emtzayis can transfer and they can do it in both directions according to Rav's approach, according to Chachamim. Only they can transfer to the Emtzayis, but not vice versa. So who does Allah follow? Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chama, Rav Guri, Amar Rav. Halacha, Kirabi Shimon, that the Echitzayin and the Emtzayis can transfer back and forth. So in summary, how does Erev Chatziris work? Shmuel says, it's instigated with the concept of Kinyan, and that brings them into this home. It's considered to be their joint place of residence. Rabbi says, it works based on the concept of Dira. So where a person's bread is, that's where he's living, and therefore they're all living together in the same home. Shmuel tells us there are three differences here between Shmuel and Rabbi. Number one, whether you can use a kli, going to Shmuel, yes, because you're doing a kinyan, going to Rabba, you specifically need food. If it's less than a shava pruta, going to Shmuel doesn't work, because that won't make a kinyan, going to Rabba. As long as you place some food there, that's okay. And regarding using a katan, going to Shmuel wouldn't work, because he can't make a kinyan. Going to Rabba, even a katan can make the Erev Chatziris. Continues the Mishnah. Mishu ba baderech v'chash chalei. So this fellow's out on the road, and he sees it's getting dark, Shabbos is coming. And he's, I don't know, 4,000 amma away from his home. So he'd like to go ahead and establish a Erev Tchumen, some type of Shabbos residence out in the distance, which will allow him to walk there, and then from there beyond, all the way to his home. Says the Mishnah, Mishubah Baderech V'chashchalai V'yamakir Ilan Oigadar. And from afar, at a distance of 2,000 amma, what does he see? He sees a tree. See the fence. V'amar shvisa se tachtav. He makes an announcement. My shvisa is underneath that tree, on the bottom of that fence. But he didn't specify exactly where, which four amos is going to become his makam shvisa. Loyar klum, he hadn't said anything. His erev is invalid because he didn't specify where exactly his makam shvisa is going to be. The makam shvisa is a person's Shabbos residence. You need to know where you're living. So in this case, it doesn't work. What about shvisa se bi'ikari? He says, my shvisa should be at the trunk of that tree. So he specified the exact location. In this case, it's activated. That becomes his makom shvisa and allows him to walk 2,000 amma in all directions from that spot. So as a result of that, he can make it home. Mahalech mimakom ragov va'adi korei apayim amma. He can walk from his present location up until the trunk of that tree, 2,000 amma, and from there beyond, umiyikari vat beis apayim amma. From the trunk up until his home, another 2,000. Nimtza mahalech mishecha shecha. So this results in this fellow walking after nightfall, arba salafim amma, a total of 4,000 amma. Imeini makir, let's say, he doesn't recognize any landmarks which would allow him to make this announcement, or perhaps he's not really versed with these halachas, he doesn't know that one can do such a thing. So instead he said, V'amar shvisasi bimkaymi. I would like my shvisa to be established right here, in my current location. So that works. Zochalei mekaymoi alpayim amel chol ruach. So his shvisa becomes established right here, and he gets 2,000 all directions. Tosis points out, he doesn't actually have to say shvisasi bimkaymi in this case where he's actually present at the shvisa location. Even if he's just merely there, and he certainly has in mind, this should happen. It works, even if it doesn't explicitly state it. So in any case, he's zoicha, he gets this territory, a tchum of 2,000 all directions. Agulis, they're measured as a circle, meaning a radius of 2,000 amma in all directions. Divrei, Rebbe Chanidim and Tignis. V'chacham ayimrim, merubois. We create that square around him. So it's a square of 4,000 by 4,000, he's right in the middle. Ketavl merubas, like a square tray. What's the benefit of a square? Very simple. Kadeshye niskala zevayis. So that he gains the corners. Meaning, if he chooses to walk diagonally, in the diagonal of that square, instead of merely 2,000, he can actually walk about 2,800 amma. This is learned from Psukim. Continues the Mishnah. Vizui sha'amru. This is an example where the Chacham said, Ha'ani ma'arav raglav. The Ani who has no access to food, he's out on the road, he can make an erev simply by his presence, without using food. Amar Rav Meir, Anu Englono Ela Ani. We only said this regarding an Ani who has no access to food. But a person who has access to food, he must make the error of using food specifically. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, whether an Ani or Asher, they can make an Erev merely by their physical presence. Shalei Omer, Ma'avim Pas. Why did the Chachamim speak about making an Erev through bread? Ela Lahakal Asher is merely to provide, to accommodate, to make it easier for the usher, shalei yetzi v'arav raglav. So he wouldn't need to trouble himself to go out to the Erev location, he could send some bread, but actually, being physically present at the Erev location is superior to using food. Says the Gemara, so he began with this fellow, who's out on the road, it's getting dark, he makes an announcement, I'd like my shvisa to be underneath that tree, somewhere underneath that tree. We have a wide tree, 30 amas wide, the branches that is, so we don't know exactly where he'd like to have his shvisa. Mishnah says, it doesn't work. Loyamar klum. My loyamar klum. What does that mean? He hasn't said anything. So you have two approaches. Amar Rav. Loyamar klum kal ikar. He hasn't said anything. Da filu l'tachtav shal ilan. Loyamatzi ozl. He doesn't even have the ability to walk to the tree. Why? Because since he didn't specify the exact location of his shvisa, where underneath that tree he'd like it to be activated, that doesn't work. And since he really uprooted himself mentally from his current location, he wanted to be shvisa there and not here. So he was akar. Rashi says, he was akar dati v'libo. His mind, his heart, has been detached from his current location. He indicated he doesn't want a shvisa to take place here. This fellow doesn't have shvisa. Not there nor here. He's like a person who's out of the tum. He only has four amis. Ushmuel Amar. Shmuel maintains that he has shvisa, but it's undefined. We don't know exactly where underneath that tree. So that creates a suffix. I'm going to have to adopt a stringent approach, taking all possibilities into consideration. But he will get shvisa somewhere underneath that tree. Ushmuel Amar. Lo yomar kum levesai. He hadn't said anything regarding allowing him to walk home, meaning, as a result of this statement, he can't walk home. Aval atachtav shel ilan motzi ozel. But certainly, he can walk all the way to underneath that tree. So the picture is like this. There's a diagram on the bottom of the page in Rashi. In some editions, it's actually accurate. In any case, the picture is like this. He's standing on the right, and within 2,000 amma, he has this tree. Now, we're not sure specifically under which part of that tree he's going to have his shvisa, whether it's the far side of the tree, the suffering side, further from him, or the closer portion of the tree, Dorim. We're not sure. But in either case, the entire tree is within his boundary, within his 2,000 amma. But the entire tree is not within the 2,000 amma of his home, because if you calculate from the home back to the tree, it ends right in the middle of that tree. So the tzofen of the tree is within 2,000 of the home, but not the Dharam side. So when it comes to walking from his present location to the tree, he's allowed to, because even if the Erev was activated on the tzofen side, underneath that portion of the tree, either way, it's within his boundary of 2,000. But he can't walk all the way home. Why? Because perhaps the Makom Shvisa is on the Dorim side of the tree, which is beyond 2,000 of the home. So that won't allow him to walk home. So Shmuel says he can't make it home due to the fact that we're not sure where the Shvisa is. Perhaps it's on the right side of the tree, which is beyond 2,000 of his home. But he can actually walk to the tree on any side of the tree, because either way it's within 2,000. So that's okay, but he can't walk home. Now, what if he says, look, okay, perhaps the Shvisa is on the Dharam side, which means it's closer to me. So from that portion of the tree to my current location is actually less than 2,000 amma. The tree is 30 ammas wide. So I'm actually less than 2,000 from my Shvisa point. I'm 1,970 ammas. So perhaps, based on that, you should allow me to walk backwards through 30 amma. Let's say I want to walk to my right, 30 amma. I can do so, because it's within 2,000 of the right side of that tree. No, we say no, we can't do that, because perhaps your Shvisa is on the left side of the tree, on its southern side, in which case you're exactly 2,000 amma from your Erev location. You can't go anywhere to your right. So we take into account all possibilities, and we go to Chumrah. Let's see the Gemara again. Shmuel Amar, Lo Yamar Kum LeBeisai. It's ineffective. It doesn't allow him to walk home, which is perhaps beyond the tchum avol tachtav shel ilan matzi ozel, but it certainly can go to the bottom of the tree. V'nasa tachtav shel ilan, the bottom of the tree results in a limbo state. It becomes chamar gamul. It creates a confusion for him. It's like a person who's driving a donkey who goes forward, goes in front, at the same time leading a camel behind him. He's stuck in the middle. He's being pulled in both directions. So the bottom portion of that tree creates that uncertainty. It pulls in both directions. He must take into account that perhaps his Erev is on this side of the tree, perhaps on the other side of the tree. If he says, well, let us calculate from the Tzafim side of the tree. Let's assume my Shvisa was on the left side of the tree, which is within 2,000 of the home. Allow me to go home. We say, no. Maiden Leiman Adar. We calculate from the Dharam side of the tree. We say, well, perhaps your Shvisa is on the right side of the tree, which is beyond 2,000 of your home. You can't get home. Now, if he says, okay, it's on the right side of the tree, which means that I am currently less than 2,000 from that location. I'm 2,000 minus 30. So let me walk to my right, which is still within 2,000 of that closer side of the tree. If he says that, we say, no. He wants to calculate from the Dharam, and we say, no, perhaps your Erev is on the Tzofen side of the tree. That's where your Shvisa is. In which case, you're exactly at the 2,000 mark from your Shvisa. So you can't budge from your space. You can't move to the right at all. So Shmuel maintains the Shvisa does take effect, but it's applied stringently. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, my time in the Rav. What is the reason why Rav holds that this Erev doesn't work at all? Mishum Delay Messiah Mastery, because he didn't specify the exact location of his Makom Shvisa. Underneath that tree, where? What? He didn't say anything. So, a Shvisa is a person's residence. You need to know where you're living. Therefore, it doesn't work altogether. Nigadamri, there's another version, Amar Rava, my time of the Rav. What is Rav's reason that this doesn't work? Because he holds like this. A person only has one opportunity to get a Makom Shvisa, four Amis. A person should say, well, I'd like four Amis from Makom Shvisa. Then, you know what, I want another four Amis, and another four Amis. That certainly doesn't work. Therefore, says Rav, if you can't do it incrementally, consecutively, you can't do it simultaneously either. Such as in our case, where he's announcing, I'd like the large area underneath that tree, which is greater than four Amis, to provide me with a Makom Shvisa. He's involving the entire area. He's activating the entire area underneath that tree to provide him with a four Amma Makom Shvisa. Now, although he just wants four Amis, but he's engaging and involving the entire area. Provide me with four Amis. So just as he can't go ahead and get four Amis plus four Amis plus four Amis, that certainly won't work. Likewise, he can't activate Shvisa in an area which is greater than four Amis, even though he's doing it in one shot, simultaneously. It won't work. Meshum de kasavar, because he holds, we apply the following formula. Kol she'ena b'zeh chaseh, something which can't be activated incrementally, consecutively, afilu v'asachas enoi, it can be done even all at once. The classic case is a person is mekadesh Rachel. He can't go be mekadesh his sister Leah. It won't work. It's ena b'zeh chaseh. What if he says, you know, let me do it at once. Simultaneously, I'll be mekadesh Rachel and Leah together. No. If it doesn't work b'zeh chaseh, it won't work together simultaneously either. So that's the Pshat and Rav. Says Mar Magbinayu, is there a difference between the first Pshat, the problem is he didn't specify the location, and the second Pshat, that it can't work simultaneously? Is there a difference? It could be now, there's a difference in the following case. The Omar liknuli ba'arba amis migoy shmoina. Let's say he announces that let me have four amis out of the eight, out of the greater area underneath that tree. So in this case, he's specifying, I don't want to activate the entire area. I'm not involving the entire area. I want specifically four amis and no more. So it depends. With pshat, we approach. Man de amar mishum de lo mesayim asrei. According to the first pshat, the problem is he didn't specify the location. Hola mesayim asrei. In this case as well. He didn't specify. It doesn't work. He said, I want four from that larger area. He didn't specify where he's living. So it doesn't work. Umanda Omar Mishum de Kosheine Bezechaze. Afil Basachas Enoi. But according to the second approach, the problem is that he's engaging this entire area to provide him with the four Amis. It's too large an area. It's more than four Amis. He can't do that. He can't activate such a large area. But this case is different. In this case, where he's specifically saying, I only want four Amis. I'm not involving the whole area. I want four Amis. He didn't say which one, but I only want four Amis. In this case, it's going to work. High kabbas the amas dummy. In this case, we treat it like your typical shvisa of four amas. The hocha abba amas kama. Because here he specifically said, I only want four amas. So in this case, it works. Now, Tosis points out that apparently Shmuel holds that even if he didn't explicitly say it, we assume this is what he meant. Therefore, Shmuel holds the Erev works. So in summary, if he announces that my shvisa should be underneath, somewhere underneath that tree, Mishnah says, Lemar Klum. Rav says, he hasn't acquired a Shvisa whatsoever. We have two reasons. Number one, because he didn't specify location. According to the second shot, because he's engaging too large an area, a greater area than four Amis. And therefore, even though he's doing it at once, it won't work. The Mishnah concludes, if he specifically says, I only want four Amis from that area, it works. Shmuel maintains, the Shvisa works. But he's a Chamor Gamel. He's pulled in both directions out of uncertainty regarding the exact location of his shvisa, whether on this side or that side, and therefore we have to adopt all possibilities l'chumra. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the machlokes of Shimon Rabbanon by the Shalosh Chatziris, where the outer ones made an eruv with the middle courtyard. According to Rav's approach, Rav Shimon will hold that the chitzoynes can transfer to them tzoyis, the middle one can transfer to them. According to Chachamim, only the chitzoynes could use them tzoyis. The Mitzoyis can't transfer to them because he has double allegiance. He's connected on both sides to different Chatzeris. Shmuel's approach is that this very Shita is actually Rav Shimon's Shita. Only the Chatzeris can use the Mitzoyis, but not in the reverse. According to Chachamim, all three Chatzeris cannot transfer Shlosh to Anasuris. What about a Chatzer which was situated between two alleyways? If you made an Erev with both, that creates problems because He has double allegiance. If he neglects to make an Erev altogether, then nobody can carry. If he's used to using one, then he must make an Erev with them, but the other one is mutter regardless. If he actually made an Erev with any one of them, then that's fine, because he's detached himself from the other side. What if one of the Mevois made their own independent Erev? So they can tell the Chatzah, go use the other side and allow us to carry. Shmuel tells us if a person is makvid at the other members of the Chatzah, shouldn't access his food, or he split the Erev into two, he put his Erev in a different container. In both cases, he hasn't properly integrated himself and the Erev doesn't work. How does an Erev work? According to Shmuel, it works based on the concept of Kinyan. According to Rabbah, on the concept of Dira. If a person makes an unspecified Erev under a tree, but he didn't specify where, according to Rab, it doesn't work altogether. According to Shmuel, it works. But we must take into account all possibilities.